Barbie the Welder, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it. It's good to see you.
Oh, grateful to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, well, I love the set. What's going on behind you? You got some of your pieces back there. Let's just start off, Barbie. Tell us what you do.
I'm a metal sculptor, an author, and an international keynote speaker, which is just profound to say all of that out loud because it all stems from welding.
Yeah, you don't start with that all in mind.
It started with, which welding is how I got there, but it started with sculpting. It was a immediate understanding that I was supposed to be a sculptor. And that comes from a 15-second clip in a movie that profoundly changed my life.
Really? Tell me more about that.
I've gone through a whole bunch of and self-induced mental health issues. And at the time of finding sculpting, I was on my way out of chemical dependence and was still like totally swimming in all kinds of mental issues, with depression being the number one. Sat down with my neighbors. I was unhappily married at the time. I had two children and a that were mine and a stepdaughter. Just like had like these beautiful human beings in my life, but just was unhappy. Just here, it was all here. Sat down with our neighbors to watch a movie. It was Castaway, starring Tom Hanks. And the clip in the beginning where the woman's welding those angel wings. I'm going to cry. Just even thinking about this moment in my life, it is a defining moment that I'm sure that, you know, I know today sitting here that we get signs and signals every single day, like every single moment of every single day. Truly, it was just, I think, the first time in my life, like, we have instincts that we just don't listen to out of fear. And this was I don't know if it was a calling, an instinct. It was just a, whatever it was mine. It was for me. It was what I'm supposed to do. And I knew I needed to do it as much as I needed to breathe. And what has unfolded in the last 19 to 20 years from that moment has been, it's prolific. And that's an understatement.
This is amazing. Did you know at the moment, like, right then and there, you were just like, holy shit, I need to be going and doing this.
Yeah, and I can't explain it because I did not see myself as artistic and I'd never welded before, but I knew it was mine. Like, I know that my hands are mine.
You'd never weld? All right, hold on. So you, had you ever even thought about this before?
Prior to this? Never.
The gift.
I just did not see myself as, well, it was cultivated. So it was this moment of inspiration. However, gift, I don't know if it's a gift or if it's a magnificent obsession that with, you know, thousands of hours of practice and play, you know, I've cultivated skills. I do believe everyone can do it. However, anyone who has the mindset to, I don't know, I say that, and boy, that's such a, I'm like, I think everyone is capable, completely and 100% capable. What you put in is what you will get out. And that is mentally, emotionally, and physically. All of it must be in alignment.
So the reason I say gift is because I think that the gift is you have a new focus that you are passionate about. And because I believe that happiness resides on the other side of achievement, the gift is you now have the opportunity to achieve in something that makes you feel good. And really the idea of the quality of the product, whatever it may be, whomever it is not totally relevant because it's the
task. Can you say that again, please? I missed.
Yeah.
Can you say that again?
Course.
That was.
So it's not the quality of what the person's doing. Like you sit down and make something, and this isn't relevant. I mean, this isn't specific to you. I think just in the pursuit of achievement, our happiness resides on the other side. And the gift is, if you really have passion for something, you'll push through the obstacles and get to the other side. So that to me, the gift is that I now have focus, clarity, and so I can get to the other side of achievement.
I think that is the most beautiful way I've ever heard that expressed.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, no, but thank you.
You teed it up nicely.
Wow. Wow.
Because I just feel like it's such a prerequisite for happiness is to have toiled and look back and be like, I'm not even really looking at the thing I made. I'm looking at my journey that I took.
It does become, well, for me, it's who I've gotten to grow myself into. And that has been that journey with the singularity of focus that has allowed me to do that. But it's who you get to become in the process is that right there. But it's only with the passion and having that, I must do this, like I need to breathe, like that gets you to, but it's finding that right there. Like, how do you find that when you, I mean, I didn't know I needed it. I just thought this is how life is.
Wow. Well, that's the cool 20 years ago, huh?
Yeah.
So I was going through your YouTube and learning about some of the stuff that you've done. And okay, so now with the insight that you started from, you were watching a Tom Hanks movie with a volleyball in it to all the stuff I saw on YouTube. It's like, Jesus, you really got a lot done. I'm seeing who hires you to make things, right? It's ridiculous.
Oh,
so yeah. Tell me about some of the projects you've done. I mean, I saw some big names out there.
Yeah, it's definitely, it is freaking profound. Never in a million years, you know, I started out, when I say weld art, I started out welding spoon rings and little silverware people and horseshoe hearts in a price range of $25. I did have one. My first commission was $35.
How pumped were you?
Oh, so pumped. You know what I mean? Like, people are paying me money to do what I want to do. Are you kidding me? What it's grown into is, Carolina Boot Company, American Welding Society, Chicago Pneumatic, Harley Davidson, two sculptures for Harley Davidson. Are you kidding me? I'm like, the High Seas, I have to look at my wall, the High Seas Rally, Bailey Industrial, I've worked with them, Chicago Pneumatic, Weiler Abrasives. I'm currently partnered with Boss Laser, who's just an incredible company. And my most recent sculpture was for Burger King.
It's like
King.
One great name after the next.
Ah, Burger King and How to Train Your Dragon was my last commission. Oh, I did a microphone stand for Chuck Garrick, the bassist for Alice Cooper. I mean, like...
Seriously. And yeah. So are you in a place now where it's like... Like, you kind of need to decide what you want to do with your time. Like, I don't know, I got Alice Cooper on line one, and I got Burger King on line two. I know you don't mean it that way, but is that what's sort of occurring?
Yeah. If it's not an F yes, it's an F no today. And it's actually been that way for a while, and it's, yeah, beyond explanation, but I'm like, I can tell you how I did it. And but it also defies logic. However, I could tell you exactly how I did it. But yeah, if it's not a complete F yes, it's a complete F no. I'm very, very blessed to have the opportunity. I say no to a lot of stuff because I mean, if it's like whatever my last job is, that or better. You know, oh, Baker Beam, that was another one. I'm like, Baker freaking Beam, five sculptures for Baker Beam that landed me in a solo art show in the Chelsea Art District in New York City. Like,
seriously.
How many? I just like, I know, I think it's what artists work for all their life, and it just shows up in my email.
Just randomly. That's unreal.
It really is. I'm like, if I didn't know me, I would think I'm a liar.
Well, I mean, let me peel this back, which is, are you still buddies with some people that knew you 20 years ago?
Completely. High school friends,
Are they just like, they're probably not surprised on one hand, right? They're probably like, you got like a good motor in you.
Anyone who had ever known me, I think everyone is completely surprised, actually. And the fact that I'm still alive is just beyond miraculous. To tell you the truth, like, anyone who knew me, I got kicked out of two high schools in 1 year. The one was a school for the bad kids. I've been arrested more times than you can count in one hand. And it probably was voted most likely to be in prison in high school, honestly, or dead by 21. So it's, yeah, people like to say they're surprised is probably an understatement. The fact that I'm alive is more of a than I've done. Well, so all of it is just...
Well, maybe some of that at first blush doesn't seem like relevant life experience to become the artist you are. But I found that as time goes on, it's amazing what we draw from as we do things. And it's in how it just creates fertility somehow for creating things. And it's amazing how you're like, God, when I was getting cuffed, I had no idea that this was going to be like such a great experience later on to draw from. You know, I mean, but seriously, I mean, it's who knew? So what are you working on currently?
Just a sculpture of a lifetime. So I follow... Because of listening to my instincts, my intuition, I've just cultivated that more and more. Slight backstory. I was approached by the Veterans Healing Farm, which is a nonprofit that heals veterans without medication from PTSD. They approached me on LinkedIn, asked me to make a sculpture. I said yes and quoted it. They had a specific sculpture in mind. It wasn't an F yes, but it was, I've been wanting to do something for veterans. The give back is absolutely like paramount for me, it's part of what I must do. It just feels so good. And I'm grateful, so grateful. So the veterans are like, just a complete F yes, but the sculpture design they showed up with, I was like, not really an F yes, but it was because I wanted to work with the veterans that I quoted this, through further... I meditate. So through meditation, actually was in meditation after quoting this job and got a message. I don't know how to explain it other than that, but got an understanding. That's a good way. I got an understanding that I was supposed to make them a sculpture, not the one they wanted, and that I was supposed to give it to them. I wasn't supposed to charge them. And I was given a message that if I do that, then I will be taken care of, like financially. And so like, this was a, like, what do you do? I'm like, pretty big, because I'm like, you're getting paid for this. They're out there working on raising money for that. Like, you're an idiot. However, the message was received. And so after, I think it probably took me almost 2 weeks to say something to them, because I'm like, again, like, I'm a businesswoman and it's, you know, but it was so loud and clear that I had to. So I contacted the director and said, listen, you know, I know that this is what you were supposed to have. However, I don't feel this one. I feel like you deserve something that is, I feel like there's something different for you. And by the way, I'm going to give it to you if you will receive it. And so it was a yes. They don't know what the design is. I am still working on the design for this sculpture.
I was going to say, do you know what this design is yet?
No, but I know, and I was told immediately that it's supposed to feel like peace and healing. So I know, and that's why I explained to him, I'm like, look at, and like, that's the most artist thing I've ever said in my entire life. I don't right. know what it looks
Am
like.
Am I really that person now?
Like, oh, right? I'm just like, whatever, Barbie. But this is where I am. And so I'm like, I have just learned to listen to this. Oh, and by the way, like 5 minutes after I told them that I was going to give them a sculpture, Burger King showed up with How to Train Your Dragon in my inbox. So when you are on the right path, there will be signs. It is so important for you to cultivate a relationship with yourself, where you listen to yourself and you're in that practice of listening to yourself, the most magical things. And there is, and like going back to your first comment about fear, you know, it just completely is right in alignment with this. I'm like, yeah, it's scary to turn down a payday, like literally a payday. And with all due respect, I'm a businesswoman. Like, you need to get, I have bills to pay, metal costs money, and I like to eat steak.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
this
saying
isn't gonna be free, guys. Yeah, look at the pipes.
But it's but like, to turn that down is like, what the hell? If I had a business manager, she would have fired me, or he would have fired me. However, I'm like, by listening to this inner, these messages or these urges or these whatever, I'd like inner knowing, whatever it is. Like, I just like practiced again and again. I'm like, what direction I should go in. And it has been profound, but that's why I'm sitting here. Like, that's why I'm sitting here today. And you're excited to talk to me, and I'm excited to talk to you, is because of that. Everything that wasn't a F yes has been an F no. F no. And that has allowed me to continue just to honoring myself and what's really excites me. And because I am working in passion and not under pressure, it's just allowed everything to come through, or just, it's allowed everything to come through. It's like you create yourself into like this magnetic something or other, yeah, that attracts the most prolific things ever. And I'm like, this sounds kind of woo-woo, but I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, it's
happening.
I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I didn't know this to begin with. This is just something that just through, again, it's the practice. It's just practice.
Yeah, it's hard to, and I had, we have investors for our business. We do a lot of creating as well. I mean, we're creating a marketplace and software and, you know, having to come up with all this stuff, all these ideas, there's no model out there. So you're kind of, I mean, we come up to, you know, trailheads all the time, like forks in the road. And it's like, I'm going to figure that out. And I was talking to an investor several years ago, and he goes, you ignore your instinct at your own peril. Oh. And he goes, that's why I invested with you. It's like, I just have a sense that you're going to figure this, you know, you're going to figure this thing out. So he's like, just don't ignore what you feel about it and just go do it. And don't think, just go do it. Oh. And that those are sorts of comments that kind of set you free over time, because you start getting feedback, you know, from the products you're putting out in the world and seeing things happen. And it sort of emboldens you to really believe your instinct more increasingly, because it doesn't come. I think most people can, you know, their instincts barking at them, or they're getting clarity in their thinking. And, you know, you have these, at least a minimum of two voices. One is sort of the logical, safe voice. And then the other one is sort of like, you know, full throttle. Let's go. That. And then you also have, you know, what is probably the reasonable thing to do voice. So those are, it takes discipline to give yourself a chance.
That's well said.
But I want to touch back on the idea of fear. I was saying earlier, I was going through YouTube, and it was some years ago, like 4 years ago, and you were talking about the idea of fear can go fly a kite. You know, there are two types of people. People who just fold up the tent and they go. They don't, they're like, I'm not gonna push through. I'm gonna break down. I think you said some that break through and some that break down is actually how you wrote it. Tell me how'd you get there? I understand your story and how you've learned to push through fear because there's good stuff waiting for you. But tell me about your position on fear.
So I actually have a tattoo on my arm that says fate favors the fearless. But it's, I still, and we spoke about in the beginning, I've actually spent all of my life in fear. We put on masks, masks of kindness. We're scared to, offend someone, or we put on masks of bravery because we're still scared. We go and do it anyway. And that's like always a practice of that. Feel the fear and do it anyway, because you're either going to, what if you don't make it? Like you're going to gain knowledge. You're gaining feedback. You're seeing what doesn't work. Cool. Right. You fell on your face. Get up and do it again. It's fall down 7 times. Get up 8. It is scary. It's scary because everyone's looking at you and they're judging you. And it's like, I quit my job and everyone's sitting there going, she's an idiot. I had the most, I don't know if they did or not. I felt like they did. And that's what I had in my mind is like, they all felt like I was an idiot. I bet there's a couple of them out there that wish they, would have had that courage, because most of the people who were at that company were more talented than I was and was more capable of creating their own businesses than I was. I just had it in my head that that's what I was going to do. But, people are going to judge you one way or another, might as well do what you want to do. And like that fear part is, they will judge you regardless, but feeling you're going to have the fear, man. But it's like, this is what I did is I think I found a passion that just was greater than the fear. Like it just was, it was scarier not to go after it. I feel like, and I couldn't even that's not even the truth. Like my passion or my obsession, I'll say obsession, I needed to do that more than I needed to breathe. And it's like fear went away. Like there wasn't I've definitely had fear a whole lot, throughout the whole thing. However, when it came to I must do this, fear wasn't even a factor. Fear wasn't a factor. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, no kidding. I understand what you're saying, which is you're so doing the right thing that I'm just so locked in on what I'm doing here. I'm so aligned with me.
Yeah. Everyone else had fear.
Yeah.
Everyone else around me had fear. And I apologize for interrupting, but I just want to clarify that. Every single person around me had fear over my decision that I needed to do for myself. My only obstacle was I probably had some of my own fears and doubts. However, I had to overcome my fears and doubts plus theirs, because these are close family members. This was a then husband and a mom and a dad my mom and dad totally, that one was the biggest obstacle, because just, the first relationship, mom and dad. And so that was the wanting them to be happy, wanting them to feel secure, why don't you trust me kind of thing. But their fear was, it was harder to overcome their own fear. I was already I already didn't have it, but I had to overcome their fear that they projected on me.
I understand that, by the way. I mean, I have my own business and have parents that are I don't know. That doesn't seem like the, is there a more secure route? I'm like, yeah, those are kind of boring.
That's that generation, though, because of what they went through. And it's not personal. It's generational, generational fear. They had a certain thing. Moving forward, I'm I don't cast that on my kids. I'm man, you guys should be entrepreneurs. It's epic. You should have no freaking boundaries, But also it's our generation is different. And moving forward, fear, there's not the fear in I don't believe, and I don't know, I don't feel it anymore. I feel uncertainty sometimes. I'm like, should I be doing this or this? But the fear, well, which, yeah, that is fear. Huh. I still feel fear.
Well, I would assert, and this wasn't my original thought, that we all are guided by fear entirely. They can be tiny little fears, but it is what guides us through our day. And to the extent, you know, people are biologists and say that makes a ton of sense, I would agree with them that it makes a lot of sense that we might be motivated by fear. And then we have the larger frontal cortex that kind of helps us balance that out. But I think everything we do is, you know, fear-based, and people like to get into default behavior that typically is the core of which is comfort. And that's a bargain that's being made. But, you know, it's everybody has different tolerances, but there's, you kind of get used to living in chaos after a while, and you start to understand it and how it works, and not internalize the things that are occurring in your environment that directly impact, you know, your success. It's like, that doesn't make me bad at something or a failure. You know, is it, you know, it's kind of, you just can't internalize it.
Yeah. It's feedback. You take it as feedback.
Yeah. I take it under advisement. You know, the founder of, you know, you know, practice. That company, Spanx, you've heard of that, you know, the founder, Sarah, somebody, I can't remember her last name, but she tells a story about how, you know, her company's been wildly successful. And she talks about, she was interviewed and she was sharing some of her background in the interview. And she goes on to tell a story about, you know, we're very comfortable with failure in my family. And the reason is, at dinner, my dad would ask me, what'd you fail at today? And they always, so I got sort of this parental reinforcement, like support of the concept of failure, which you were just talking about, is that they were worried of failure and you getting, you know, to a life that, you know, they wanted for you and all that sort of stuff. And she's learning from this early age that that's not going to be an obstacle to her success. And now that probably cuts both two ways, as all things do. I don't know what other sorts of problems that might have led to, but in the context of that conversation, I was like, yeah, I could see how that'd be really helpful.
Yeah, I have paved my way to success by using my failures as stepping stones.
Yeah, who was that? I'll forget the author's name. It might have been Mark Twain, possibly, but he said, you got to learn from other people's mistakes because you never live long enough to make them all yourself.
It definitely sort of thing, sounds like a Mark Twain.
Yeah, it does. But the idea of fear, I don't know, really caught my attention. I actually have on my wall is the FDR. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, which I walked by this morning. And every time I walk by that, it's on our staircase, and I just look at it. I'm just like, God, isn't that the truth?
I think in practicing faith in ourselves, and that starts with the listening to ourselves, do we eradicate fear from our lives? And also in looking back and seeing all the things that you've overcome, I find an excellent exercise in overcoming fear is to look back and look at your successes. Look at all the, I went through this relationship. It was awful, but I mean, like, I survived, but did you die kind of thing. And looking at all the things that you've overcome in your life, like, we get so busy going left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, like focusing on where we're going, that we forget to lift our heads up and look around and just see how very far we've come. Now, you've not gotten here by accident. It's definitely by, you know, hard work and like overcoming things. It's like, the more you realize how much you've overcome, the more powerful that you'll understand that you are. And it's seeing that and just, you know, again, practicing listening to yourself. And like, I'm drawn to this. I don't know why, but I find myself leaning into this, or I find myself like that, you know, kind of like, oh yeah, that feels like it would be so much fun. Like if money and time and people's opinion was no object, what would I be doing, kind of thing. And then like that right there. And then like leaning into what shows up, like, but it is practice. And I definitely, there's always more room to grow. I'm like, I'm an apprentice of life. Like I will always, you know, continue to grow and learn and, you know, to find new ways to do things better and faster, or maybe not even faster, maybe just better, but just doing things in a new way.
Yeah. An interesting thing as I'm hearing you talk is the idea of, as you get better at these things, you kind of look back, and part of the journey is when you start these journeys, you're sensitive to what people are thinking. And then you kind of look back and you look at the journey, you're like, maybe I don't care what people think. And that's kind of a cool thing, because there's no way you would have done what you did if you really like you might hear it. And I don't know you that well, but like, it's just interesting to look back at these journeys and be like, I used to think I was so worried about what everyone thought, and here I am, and I've done it. And that's sort of like a moment, right?
Yeah, it's like, look at what you've done. I do all my own stunts, like my website, I do it. You see my, you know, YouTube channel, I do it. Filming, I do it. It's, you know, me incorporated. And I was redoing my website recently and decided to do a video of like 1.5 seconds of for each client, like just on a spinny thing. And I started putting my clients on there and started to like, you know, upload the pictures, and I cried. I was like, I can't even believe that what that looks like. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? Like, it's that I've been putting my, you know, head down working. I'm like, I know I've been doing this, but it just, not that it doesn't register. Each one is very, very, very special. However, I'm just so in the moment that it's like, when it's done, I'm in this moment now. And I'm like, I'm not always thinking about what's coming up in front of me or what's behind me. It's just, I've practiced on becoming very, very present. And so when I do something like that, and it's like, dude, holy moly, like not one, but two sculptures for them. And like, they wanted 5 sculptures from me, like, and gave me an art gallery and an art showing. I'm like, it's, oh yeah. Oh, and let me keep the sculptures too. I'm like, and let me keep the sculptures to sell myself on top of that.
Really?
I'm like just profound opportunity after profound opportunity that these companies have given me. You know, I ended up, I could go down a list of some other stuff. It's just like, what the hell? You know, but it's like, you don't always realize it until you take that step back and really just kind of look at how, you know, how listening to your intuition serves you and being in alignment with that. And, you know, not taking things that other people say to you personally. I think that's probably my number one thing, is because people come to you and they're like, oh, you know, my mom and dad, like, being a welder is stupid. Why would you waste your money doing that? And then when I got into, you know, a job, they go, oh, hey, great, she's going to be a welder. Okay, and we support her. And then 5 years later, I'm like, I'm quitting my job to go full-time as an artist. Well, no, that wasn't a popular decision. I didn't take it personal.
They take you over the wall with all your drawings growing up, and they're like, you sure you want to be an artist?
That was
just want to remind you.
And that was pretty savage right there. I'm taking that personally.
They're like, look at
your that. Your macaroni will never stack up, Barbie.
So let me ask you a question. You said at the beginning, like, you never fancied yourself as an artist. So are you an artist?
Oh, man.
Like, do you, when you think about Barbie, are you like Barbie, like the artist? Do you, have you believe that now? Do you say, yes, I am? Or do you kind of be like, no, I'm just someone who's how to make like really creative, great things, but I'm not really an artist.
Gosh, that's a really fun question. I have not. Give me a second to think about that. Cause
yeah.
You call myself,
I'm going to open my spin drift while you do that.
Yeah. Suspension. I've called myself a welder, a fabricator, an artisan, an artist, a sculptor, and I'm probably like all of those and none of those. I love to create, and I love to design and create. And I don't know if it matters what I'm designing and creating. I think the design, like what I have personally found on this journey, is that the designing and creating just brings me so much happiness. Whether I am designing and creating laser engraved coins, I'm working on that. That's new. I'm designing and creating sculpture. I'm designing and creating ad campaigns for companies I'm working with. I'm designing and creating my website. I'm designing and creating videos for my YouTube channel. I'm designing and creating social media. I'm just like all of it. And it all brings me such deep joy that I'm like, I don't even know what to call myself now. I do have on my website that I'm an American.
How about
sculptor,
a machine?
An author.
Just a machine.
The machine. I'm magnificently obsessed. I love to create. So I would say probably at the core of it, I'm a creator.
Designing and creating, let's split that hair. So you're saying design and creating. What is that?
I do whatever it takes to make my sculpture, to make whatever sculpture I want to. That's what I do.
Well, like, meaning
whatever it takes.
I think of design and creation, maybe. So you think of them very differently. They're designing versus, so is the design the conjuring of it, and then creating is the making of it?
Yeah, so two halves. So one is just months of thinking, and the other is months of physical labor. So for me, with the sculpting, it's like I probably spend half the time thinking about a sculpture and the other half the time creating it. Like, there's so much not doing that I'm involved in that people would think I'm the laziest woman you've ever met. Where I will...
God, does that resonate?
Right? But then, like, when someone sees me work, they can't imagine me being lazy. And I say lazy, and I'm like, I lay around, or I walk the beach, or I walk the neighborhood, or just, you know, drive aimlessly, just to think and to, you know, and the veteran sculpture I have, like, it's been back burner, but I've still spent probably a couple of hundred hours already just thinking about design. And now I'm getting into where I'm starting to put, like, just thinking. Now I've written, like, you know, like this much down, like now I'm where I'm like really writing stuff down and really researching and looking at pictures and feelings and meanings of things. And like, now it's getting into the more, and I'm like physical thinking, if that makes sense. I haven't even, like, this is, you know, a couple hundred hours before I've even gotten to sculpt. And so, and like, I also, behind this sculpture is, because I'm donating it, I'm creating a way for people to support it. So that financially I can take 2 months of my time and be able to, I've major projects, 2 to 3 months. The longest one's been 6 months, but I'm being, I can get this done in 2 months. I have a hard unveiling date of November 11th.
It's good to have a date.
I'm like, that's when I'm going to unveil it. However, and that's in 2 months, 2 months and a week. I don't have the sculpture design yet. So I'm also creating an ad campaign behind it in order to get people involved, because people will be able to, part of the sculpture is a laser engraved dog tag that will be incorporated onto the sculpture that people can donate and have someone that they want to honor go onto the sculpture. I've never done it before to have, like, where people can, well, actually, yes, I have. I've done it once before. That was really cool. I have a sculpture where people sent in tools that I welded into a sculpture. I just realized that. I did a live stream yesterday and said I've never done that before, and I totally lied. Whoops.
That's all right.
No, it's not. Like, I should know these things.
Well, I know, but I was trying to make you feel better. I mean, yeah, it's fine.
I know, right? Fear. You're scared. I'd feel bad. No, I'm just like, just realization. I'm like, from now on, I'm like, I have to just remember.
No, I think it's good. I mean... But so you touched on something that just absolutely, two things resonated big time. One is, I've never had my great idea at my desk ever. Meaning that,
oh, I love it.
I've never had a good idea. I've had good ideas, but like the breakthrough idea never happens at the desk. It's always when I'm you know, doing what you described. Like I'm literally just like playing with a ball of yarn or something. And just like, yes, that's it. I finally figured it out. And it just slots. And you know it the second it happens. You're like, wow, that thing, it's like a Tetris piece falling in. You're just like, yes, that's exactly it. And then the other one was this idea of this whole concept of you're sort of working the idea. And it's like rapid prototyping, right? It's like in your head, it's like going so fast. And you can just turn it off and put it on a shelf. And then 3 days later, you can pick it right back up and you're going. And so they used to call that procrastination. And
is that weird?
I read this white paper, whatever the hell it was, like some couple years ago. And I was like, that's what I was doing. Finally, like, so there's some science behind the fact that I wasn't just staring at the ceiling. I was doing something. It's just you needed it done. You know, like you just said the test was on Friday. If it had been the following Friday, I would have crushed it. The things hadn't crystallized for me, you know?
That's it too. Crystal clear. Our words and how we speak is so much fun. It's something that it's like crystal clear. You have to crystallize it. You have to make it clear. And that's exactly what it is. Like I'm here to give people permission to not work. It is such a, it's, if you look at my, like what I do, it looks like I'm working 24/7, which technically I am. I'm always working. And I'm always playing. It just doesn't always, it isn't always physical. And it was at first very, very hard. It was 2018. I'm like, picture it, Sicily, 1947. Like it was 2018 that I did a whole bunch of self-help stuff. Started with reading books, like how to be a better businesswoman, how to like self-esteem, huge working on self-esteem, a lot of like all of the self-work. But it went from reading books to going to seminars to getting a personal coach to listening to myself and getting rid of all that stuff. And like understanding, I'm like, I just need to listen to myself. I don't need to go outside of myself for advice. I'm like, I know what I need and, you know, that practice. But in 2018, in one of the seminars I was in, it was like the greatest lesson of all time. It's like, I need time off. I was working 7 days a week out of complete and utter fear. I'd gone full time as an artist September 1st, 2014. I'm working on 11 years as a full time artist September 1st. I'm so proud of myself. Wow. I really just want to stop and say thank you to myself for just working at that one, because it is by far the best 20 years of my life to do 11 years full time. Thank you, me. I was working 7 days a week, just complete and utter fear. And I needed that to get to where I am. I recognize it now, but at the time it was just so much. It was so much pressure that I wasn't taking time off. And just, it was complete fear that if I stopped for a second, that everything would fall apart. And so what I realized is I need to start taking time off. So 2018, I took 18 days off that year. And since then, I've practiced taking time off and not working. And what I have found by taking this time off, like it was so much fear behind, like I can't take a second off, to I took 6 months off in 2022 when I moved to Florida. I'm like, I got
really. So you really adopted this time off thing.
I really did. And I found personally that it has been the best thing I've ever done. And I practice now working less and earning more. And passive income has been a huge portion of that, but also just honoring myself and what my time is and my essence that I will never, ever, ever get back, that just making sure that I'm honoring that by, you know, raising my value and then making sure that the value that I'm giving is 100% what I'm capable of, and like fine craftsmanship and just attention to details and all things, and then just know, working to raise my standards and all things. It has been the best thing ever. But that taking that time off and, you know, showing myself that I don't have to work all the time. We have such a, it looks like I do. I'm like, weirdly, I compress time. And I'm not sure how to explain it other than that. Like, what used to take me months now takes me hours. And I think it's because that, I believe it's because, I don't know for sure. Well, facts kind of show it that it's like exactly because, but also momentum, right? So hard work over long periods of time, I have created momentum in my business that is profound. But by honoring myself, it's on working on the right things. This is just a whole big recipe for it, I guess. But
well, it's the concept of time under tension, right? is that you were under tension for such a long time that you created such great strength in what you're doing.
Oh.
It's there's this whole concept of time under tension for cognitive ability and the ability to get things done. And it's the idea, the analogy that they give is when you're lifting weights, like, you know, these guys who are massively jacked and stuff like that, that you can do a squat in 3 seconds or you can take 30 seconds to come up. And you're better for having coming up over that 30 seconds. Right, then it's time under tension. Yeah, deal with that. I mean, that's you know, like it's a, and it once you start thinking about that, it's like, yeah. And it's so the scientists have taken that a step further and say, how can we apply that time under tension to our cognitive ability, right? And mm-hmm. our ability to get things done is related to our time under tension.
Yeah. The sculpture that would normally have taken 2 months will probably come out in 2 weeks. And like, that's it too, is because I've never taken so long to think about something in my entire life. And patience is a practice for me. So that's wild to hear that.
Well, and also, so also comes with that, your confidence as we get better at getting our stuff done and being successful. We don't panic as much when we have to get something done, meaning that we're confident that we can get it done. So mm-hmm. I know that I don't need to pore over it for 4 months because I know I'll get it done. You know, so you just have a confidence of completion. If that makes sense.
Hey, do you do coaching? This has been like the most prolific hour of my life.
Well, we have young.
Wow.
Sarah and I have two young boys, 10 and 8. So I can't coach like flag football, if that's what you mean.
No, I meant like personal coaching, which I'm listening to myself, but man, I cannot wait to like binge your podcast. This is like, because that's what it is. It's like your insights are powerful and life changing. Never once I ever heard of time under tension, and it just immediately resonated and just felt like home when you said that. And it's just exactly what I've been doing, but didn't have words for it.
Yeah. Well, check it out. Cause it is a lot to chase down there, and it just resonates like more and more and more. And so mm-hmm. the other thing I wanted to ask you is we've talked about the art primarily. What are you a business person? Like, what has been you? I mean, okay, let me back up. There, you've heard of something called the creator's curse, right? Which is you can be an amazing creator, best design in the world, and you cannot sell what you do to save your life. So, the creator's curse, which is you can make these great things, but you don't have the confidence to go out and market yourself and turn it into something that can be a living for you, right? I think that's the thing, it's so interesting because you never like thought of yourself as an artist. So you have these elements, you have this capacity to make things, but maybe you also have this great aptitude for business, which you clearly you've taught yourself and put in the work to get good at it. I heard what you said, but you don't seem to have sort of this creator's curse, which is you are comfortable saying, hey, I gotta make a living. I know this stuff is good. No one's doing what I'm doing. Look behind me. I've got like this kick-ass jacket and this crazy, like, I don't even know what that thing is. And so, but they're cool and I can see that. So, but you know it too, and you're okay going out, and maybe that's just time has said, well, no one's gonna do it for me, so I better go do it. But tell me about, what is your aptitude for business? Did that come more naturally than learning how to weld? I mean, they're very discrete skills. I mean, those are two different things.
Both are learned and both are self-taught. Well, the welding I was taught by someone else, but the sculpting art is self-taught, and the being Barbie the business lady is also self-taught. And it's just everything that I've learned to do has come out of necessity. So I knew that I needed to be a full-time artist. Out of necessity, I've learned to do all the things I know how to now do and still will learn. I'm like, I need to, I must sculpt art. I must do it full-time, like part-time, like I'm like half measures avail us not kind of thing. I cannot go into something like lukewarm. I'm like all in. I'm not like that. Oh yeah, I like you a little. I'm like, oh yeah, we're best friends forever kind of thing. So I must, be a full-time artist. In order to do that, I have to figure out the business side. And in studying like different people, again, like I read books and I, listened to like 24 hours a day. Like if I was up, I was either working in my shop and building things. I was on social media building that, or I was reading books. And that didn't start out at first. It took me a couple of years to get to that. Like slow progression into like, dude, I'm like, I'm like, I got two boys that, are watching this and I can't fail. So fear was definitely a factor for me. It was the fear of failure. Like I need them to see that I can do this. And I don't want to go back to work and apart. Like that's complete ego. I'm like, I don't want people to think of me as a failure. And so 100% ego got me here. Thank you, ego. I love you so much. I'm like not trying to like be all like toot my horn thing. But like ego does serve us deeply in some aspects, as long as we're using it as proper tool for, good, using it for good and not for evil kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like the force.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Because I mean, we could use our powers for whatever we want it to be for. So, but I just had to cultivate business skills because I could not go work for the man. I had to be the man. And so I had to, and I'm like, again, I'm like, I like steak. I like to eat well. I like to, I want massages daily. I'm not there yet. I'm working towards that. I'm like, I want to own my own little salt bath chamber thing. And, I want to have a greenhouse and a, ginormous shop on property. And I'm like, I don't have that yet. And so like, it's like, there's no one, it's me. It's like, there's not, I'm not waiting for someone to come along and like help me with this. It's just, this is me incorporated. And so like Ricky Bobby is me incorporated. I'm sponsored by me and I have to do this, and I have to, I'm like, I get to. And it is like the coolest effing thing ever. Cause I'm like, this is like challenge accepted. I want to do this. And I also like want to do this for me. I deserve it. I want this. It would be so much fun to go and create this. I'm like, I want like yacht in Monaco Harbor watching a Formula One race. And I'm like, I want to do that on the strength of me because it sounds like fun.
God, that sounds awesome.
I want to go to the Isle of Man and I want to go here and do this. And you know what? I want to show other artists that it's possible because I represent possibility. Like that's what's been a really fun thing is because it started out being completely effing selfish and for me. And it still is. However, I've realized that there are so many other people out there. Dude, I know how happy I am. I'm literally living in the middle of the dream. I don't have my yacht, my yacht in Monaco yet. However, I'm on my way. And I'm so much further along than I ever have been. And I know what doesn't work and I know what does work so far. And that will change along the way. But that is the joy of becoming who I get to become. And that's just through practice, and play. I've written a book on the artist's guide to how to brand market and sell yourself basically online. I'm like, I just totally screwed up the title for that. Branding, marketing, and selling art online, because that's how I've learned to do it. But it's a branding part and understanding you're a brand. you know, the clients aren't just buying my art now, they're also buying my name. And that's what I teach in that book. And that's something that artists don't understand. And I sure had no idea, but it's something I've learned.
And is so that a form of transcendence when you can sort of do that, which is,
yep.
You know, where you've transcended.
Oh, dude.
You know, here's a relatable example, which would be, God, okay, you could take like Leonard Skinner. Their music has transcended those people, right? It doesn't matter. As so long as they are still been ordained by some original member playing that live, right? They've been just been brought in. That Sweet Home Alabama is just an anthem, right? Or you take Taylor Swift. Her brand is so strong that she could live in a concert, like ordain or coronate somebody, and be like, I'm out. This is the new me. See ya. And, you know, that's that. I mean, so she's transcended her own product, you know, or the brand has transcended herself, rather.
That's where I'm at. And I feel like I just got there. I feel like I just got there with the last job, because that's how it was quoted, was for rights of my brand along with the sculpture, which it has taken a lot of practice to get there. And it's taken a lot of belief in myself when there was no evidence to the contrary.
That's remarkable. And know what's interesting is that you're recognizing it, where there are a lot of people are sort of like, so kind of, they're at odds with their talent, you know, or the success that comes from their talent, that, you know, that you are, you have a great relationship with it. I'm sure it ebbs and flows as all things do, but you're present and able to enjoy the progress and the payoff rather than the payout, that you get in the result. And that's
definitely profound.
You were talking about an example for your boys. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I nailed like best mom ever with How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally believe that. So let me kind of, I'm going to kind of steer us towards a closing a little bit, which is, as you think ahead, I mean, you just transcended your own brand. So looking ahead, do you feel like, are there other things you might add into your daily activity list? I mean, art is a never ending thing. It's like, you're never finished drawing the perfect circle, right? I mean, you can be like, I can try it one more time. You know, you can always make a better circle. And so, but are there other things you feel like you might kind of bring in to the Barbie fold?
As far as?
As like, oh, you like your art, which you love to do, your welding, right? Are there other interests or things that you want to incorporate into your business?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're writing books. I mean, you're out talking. You're like, so what's next?
I am learning to cast. I'm working on getting to learning to cast. I've got some of the equipment. I need more equipment, but I am going into casting products on limited run to offer a different Barbie the Welder experience. So I go from my books, which are $15 and $35, to $10,000 and up for sculptures. And I would really like to create something, maybe not in the middle of that, but just on a like limited time to allow people to collect at a little different level. So I've got some products that I'm really excited to do, and all of it will, I haven't figured out which ones yet, but like will support nonprofits and causes that are very personal to me. Working on a product to promote helmet safety, motorcycle helmet safety. I had a best friend pass away a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, from motorcycle accident. Grew up telling my kids the minute they can be on something with wheels that you'll wear a helmet, but never once looked at my best friend who I, you know, rode all over Hell's Creation with this man. that he was wearing helmets on long distance trips, but not around town, and, you know, got hit by a car in Daytona and killed. And had he been wearing his helmet, he would not have been. And so I want to and will create a product that a major portion of the proceeds will go to promote helmet safety so that I can save people's best friends, or like at least just bring awareness to a conversation. I never once turned to him and said, "Hey, man," because if I had said something to him, he would have put it on. And I know this. So it's something like that. So products with purpose. It's all of it's like art with it's art with a heart. Guess what? All like everything I create is just like it's art with a heart. It's just everything that like the veteran sculpture and being able to go in and just, you know, create a way for a community to come together and create this, you know, to be able to fund this project, to be able to give it to them. They are healing PTSD without medication, something that I've done for myself. So that's why this project is so, so personal to me. Like everything I do is just, it's personal. It's business and it's personal. And like, that's what I think has made it that right there. It is personal to me. And that's what has made this so, it's easy and not easy. It's easy to put in the work to create what I've created and to learn the things I've learned because it's personal.
I mean, how are you supposed to get through all, like anyone to get through really hard business stuff if it's not? I mean, if it's not personal, I mean, it's hard to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
You know, it is. And I like everything you're saying that you're able to, and what a great opportunity that you can use what you do to, you know, put it art with a heart, right? To be able to do that. And I'm sorry to hear the story you just told me about your friend. I'm sorry for your loss. But it is nice to have like the ability to channel that way.
I get to honor my friend and hopefully save others that way. And like it's a complete and utter, just, I don't even have words for how lucky I am for what I get to do, that I'm in a position to be able to do what I do.
It's awesome.
Very lucky. And I'm just very lucky. I know I've put in like the work to make it happen, but the profound gratitude and like how I feel about myself when I look in the mirror, like I used to hate my guts. I'm like, then that's an understatement, just like for clarification. I just used to hate who I was and then made every decision to support that feeling. And it just through, you know, just through beliefs I've grown up with that just I took things personal that wasn't. And it's like through that self-discovery, I've just gotten to do this. But who I've got to become is like, it's, I'm my greatest masterpiece, as are you and everyone who's listening, like our greatest. It's our, and I just learned this word yesterday and I'm going to use it until the cows come home. My magnus opum, I think is what it is. It is my greatest masterpiece, right? And I'm like, it is me. Like at the end of the day, like what I'm truly sculpting is, it's not businesses and it's not, you know, and I say businesses because I am a serial entrepreneur. I'm just at the very beginning of what's going to happen. Like all the people I get to serve and the ways I get to give back and just share what I've learned. I'm like, everything I learn, I immediately share it because I know what it's done for me. And I'm like, I share open and freely. I'm like, I will tell you every business secret, which are not, is not a secret, because I want it for you too. And I want it for other artists. And like that, you know, the book, it's every single thing that I've learned to get me where I am today. You know, it's everything. It's, I'm an open book because I know what it's done for me. And I want to be around other people who feel the way I do, because I know that I'm a good neighbor. I want to be neighbors with someone like me. And so, you know, I give it all away. I've got more than 100 videos on YouTube to how to weld art and how to be a business person, and, you know, personal mental, you know, journey on growing ourselves. It's just, you know, I have to live in this neighborhood. You know what I mean? Right. I have to live in this neighborhood, and I want the best for my neighbors. I want them to be happy, healthy, and whole, you know, financially stable. If you need help, and any of that stuff. I'm like, I got a couple books. If you need help and can't afford it, I'm like, send me an email. I'm like, I'll give you a book. I want happy neighbors, you know?
Yeah, I think that's well said. Well, I'm going to wrap us up, Barbie. Barbie the Welder, how do people find you online, your website? And tell us again the name of your books. I'd be interested in taking a look at those myself.
I have 3 books on how to weld art. One is about horseshoe art. One is about silverware animals. And the other one, scrap metal art. Those are all available on my website. Like, all 6 books are available on my website. Best way to get them, because you get signed copies and I send little gifts because I love to. I'm working on laser engraving, so you get laser engraved little keychains and stickers and things that I'm playing with as I'm learning. So BarbieTheWelder.com is my website. And then social media, all of my channels are Barbie the Welder. I'm on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. It's been an absolute blast hearing about your stories and your journey, and there's a lot of resonance as well. So thank you for that.
Shep, it's absolutely been amazing to learn from you. This has been an incredible afternoon. Thank you so much for your time. I'm grateful.